sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
John!
Whoa, excited. Pumped.
So excited, full of Sudafed, which is crack, I think. I think that's how they make meth or something. I don't know.
Well, you do burn it on a spoon. You probably shouldn't burn it on a spoon.
Well, I'm just making sure that it is sanitized.
And snorted.
I don't want any germies.
Yes. Take a shot. Yeah. Got to get right in the bloodstream. Got to work.
That's why I put it in my bum.
Put it on the bum.
When I'm ready. Whenever I'm ready for it, I put it in my bum.
And I lay down. And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Satanic Panic.
Hispanics.
Oops.
Do not watch Satanic Panic. It's not the movie.
It's not the right movie. I'm kidding. Jokes everywhere. Hold on. I made bad notes last week that I'm using this week, which I didn't go over. So this is great. We are doing wonderful. John is correct. We are reviewing Satanic Hispanics. So which I guess the plot in 5 words, we'll give our first thoughts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner and we're taking another trip on the blood ride.
The blood ride. Lady didn't love her dog enough for $1 billion blood ride.
So we're watching there was multiple seasons of this, right? Because it says season 1, episode 2.
It looks like there's only one season.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, it's just a Norwegian one season show.
Which this episode is cleverly titled Three Sick Brothers. So I'm going to point out that maybe it's just a translation thing, but each of these have the worst fucking title for.
I guess they don't want to give away the big reveal, the twists, the twisters.
I mean, it'd be funny if it was called like, oh, mentally sick one guy. Mentally sick one guy with no brothers.
Yeah, so Three Sick Brothers is the name of the episode. It is about, it says here, after 3 years in a psychiatric hospital, Eric drives to his family cabin with his brothers, wink. But trouble starts when they pick up a hitchhiker. Wink.
So just, yes.
What did you think?
You said you liked this. I didn't enjoy this one too much.
I didn't mind it.
I
figured out the twist pretty quick.
I mean, yeah, I was calling that out basically when they hit the cabin. Actually, before that, when they're in the car, I'm like, okay, well.
Yeah.
Because there's a bunch of like, I think they try to write in the subtle hints thing that, you know, you've seen in like fucking, I don't know, any movie that's kind of like this, High Tension or,
Right. Yeah.
You know, they always try to write in the subtle hints where it's like, if you're paying attention, you're like, whoa, but this one, they weren't enough to be subtle.
Yeah. Cause I believe the hitchhiker interacts with the other two brothers pretty prominently, so it's kind of confusing as to what's going on.
But he's always driving, right?
Right, he's driving.
He's the only guy that goes into the store. The brothers never come with him anywhere.
Good point.
You know, it looks like he's talking to somebody. He looks in the mirror and starts smiling.
That's something weird to worry about that.
Yeah, only weird people.
What a guy with a split personality.
Yeah, because the station gas or convenience store clerk doesn't acknowledge that there's other people in the car or anything like that.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what I figured. Okay, well, the mom has to take care of him. When she panics and sees that he sees the cabin there and he runs away, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to guess the brothers aren't real. I thought maybe she might be real, but then I was like, any sane person or like, you know, somebody that values their life would have left like way before getting to the cabin.
Yeah. I actually did like that twist that the three brother thing is like, if you just pay attention to it, it will come naturally to you that they're not real.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty obvious. But then, didn't guess that so he was at the gas station, he runs over a sign, right? He runs over the sign and, you know, whatever, they're making fun of him come to find out that's actually what he took with him to the cabin, and that's actually the quote-unquote hitchhiker, the sign. Which right, I thought was another twist. So technically, he didn't really do anything. It's all just, like, in his head.
Yeah, because he thinks he's a murderer. He thinks he killed his father.
But what is his
father? Well, no, he doesn't think he killed his father. In fact, he thinks his brothers killed his father, and he took the fall for it. And none of that happened either.
Yeah.
The mother's like, he left us. You don't remember? He left us. He's like, yep, I killed my dad. And she's like, no, son, you didn't. He's still alive. He's like, yep, he's dead. My brother's killed him. Like, nope. That's not what happened.
It just trails off from being suspenseful or like it like to just sad. It just becomes like a sad.
Yeah.
Think about a kid who's just sort of issues.
A scene, like give him a sex scene, right? And then his dick gets cut in half because he's trying to have sex with the metal sign.
I did like that he tried to stab her but couldn't stab her. He was he hurt himself because he was stabbing a sign.
Well, one of the brothers, not him.
That's right, that's right.
not him, even though it is him.
It is him, yeah. But yeah, then he ends up stabbing the sign or whatever.
I also like that. So when the reveal that none of that is real and he's been alone in that cabin, you see that he's been partying hard by himself.
He's going pretty hard. That hit so close to home. The way he was going. Was
so funny because it seemed like the brothers were the ones that, you know, collected all this booze and all these fucking drugs. So he had to have like absentmindedly gone and found some guy that was going to sell him drugs. He went and bought booze, but he didn't buy it at the convenience store because he only bought the whatever chips. That weird the doodles. Snack is.
Yeah. Doodles.
The doodles, that's right. Yeah.
Puff doodle chips.
I mean, I feel like the one thing that was kind of cool was that he actually did kill somebody finally, and that felt like the beginning of a better story for me at the very very end when the mom stops at the convenience store. The petrol station, sorry, I'm saying the wrong things for the wrong country.
Don't be ignorant, John, come on.
Sorry. I realized that wasn't America when I didn't see any guns or knives in the convenience store.
Yeah. Or Mickey's or Bud Lights. Yeah.
All I saw was, since it's Norway, like magical potions and gnome stuff.
Just so. Large hats. And,
Duendes.
Yes.
But yeah, that seemed like the beginning of like a cooler thing where he actually sets a woman on fire.
But did he? We don't know.
Yeah.
Happened off screen.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, he did because even though he's in the. He's in the back of the car thinking he's seeing his brothers reappear, and they're laughing like, look, look, look. And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. When they show the car on fire via reflection, he is like at the end of like the gas pump.
Okay. Yeah.
That, there's like a frame of him doing that.
So he did kill somebody? So he, at this point, that's like
maybe. Well, she's not dead yet, right? She's just on fire, but I would safely assume, unless somebody doused her.
Yeah, because you did hear off screen screaming.
Unless she's an usher, married to one of the usher family. And
she got goopy? Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah, I forgot about that part. There's another twist that he actually went through with the murders. That ending kind of doesn't ring true for the rest of the short, which actually makes me like it less, because I was more excited about the idea of it being just him. It all was all in his head. But for him to start committing murders, and I guess that's the thing to give him a one-way ticket to the blood ride.
Yeah. So I'm assuming the blood ride is
murderers?
People that did terrible things are going to hell. The thing is, so the lady in the first one killed a dog and a rat. So she deserves to go to hell? I guess, like, okay. Attempted murder is...
Continue? Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Attempted murder is...
I think they go to Valhalla. Let's be correct.
That's right.
It's Norwegian.
Odin is pretty harsh.
A lot of Odin analogies. He's the bus driver. Odin is the bus driver of the blood, right?
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was going to be Odin's son, right?
Odin, yeah, it could be Odin's son. Yeah,
Thor's going to come out soon. And
who's Hera is the equivalent of the devil. So
yeah.
So it's actually Kate Blanchett in her most stunning acting yet in the blood, right?
It's true. So this guy deserves to go on the blood ride because he finally set somebody on fire, even though it's his brother and he's clearly not mentally well.
And he's not dead, technically. So what is this bus?
But eventually they'll die.
Yeah, we're all going to die, but I don't... that isn't true for this piece, right? Because we know that the lady who had the whatever was sacrificing animals... Dies that night.
Two animals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes her die. And his daughter killed her, so she doesn't deserve to be on the blood ride because she's still alive, right? Her daughter's the one that killed an adult human.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you're right, John. I think we do have to jump off the show. Can't make heads or tails of it.
Yeah, the wraparound story itself doesn't make any sense. Like, they would have been better suited if it was like Guillermo del Toro walking around going like, and then sometimes suspenseful tales of blood ride, just like open up a little cabinet,
a little drawer,
12 Days of Christmas thing, not to be confused with the advent calendar.
Spoiler for the future,
or the past, right?
Or the past?
Yeah, it's the past, right?
It's our future, like their past.
3 weeks ago. These are why the blood ride is so confusing, because it happens to us too. Is it the future? Is it the past? Well, it's our future. Past.
You've made a convincing argument. I think we're gonna jump off this show. I don't think I can continue the blood ride.
Well, I mean, I did say the next episode is aptly labeled, titled Bad Writer, you know.
yeah okay, well, maybe one more, we'll give it one more.
We'll do one more, and then we're only 3 episodes away from the end, and we could successfully say we rode the blood.
That's true. I want to have that distinction. Not a lot of horror podcasts have that distinction. I mean, we're the only horror podcast in existence.
Yeah.
So,
and specifically in LA as well.
Specifically in the world. As far as I know.
There's no others.
Yeah. We're the only horror podcast.
I was thinking about maybe we should take this to YouTube, because there's none. There's no
none. Horror. Nobody talks about movies on YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube especially, no.
Nobody. Just, you know, dad's falling into pools and talking dog videos.
Starting an app called the Internet Film Database and call it IFDB. Yeah. Because there's none. There's no database for
no film. Way. No, yeah. Movies. At all. This is all off our top of our head. Just
this is insane. If it wasn't for Blood Ride, none of this would be happening. So
yeah. I don't know. Well, it's okay. It's you know what this reminds me of? You know, we always talk about these shows they used to air on Saturday night, like Poltergeist Legacies or
yeah.
Uh-huh. This is exactly the Norwegian equivalent, probably. It's just Netflix bought the Norwegian equivalent of like Poltergeist Legacy or what is it? Outer Limits, new version.
Yeah, the newer Outer Limits.
The newer right? Outer Limits, yeah.
Which is now old too. But yeah, there are so many shows like that. What was the one with Dan Aykroyd?
Oh.
He was just the host.
Factor Fiction. Was it Factor Fiction?
No. Factor Fiction was the one with the dude from Star Trek.
Sci-Factor? No.
Yes. Was it Sci-Factor? It's called Sci-Factor, yeah.
It's the same.
That one was shitty, too, yeah.
Yeah. It's the same idea, right? Yeah.
Same exact idea, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But oh, Dan Aykroyd. I'm sure nobody's going to remember that except for you.
Yeah. Hey. Watched a lot of TV, to be honest. Hey, so
not much to do in South Texas.
Not much to do in South Texas. Yeah.
Until we both discovered the booze and we're like, hey, this is cool too, right?
Yeah. Booze and TV. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Any other thoughts about Blood Ride?
No, we went on another one.
It was a thrill ride.
Cashman the Blood Ride, how about that? Right? That's what that kid said, the young lady that's pregnant now. How about that bad baddie, right? She's like, well, catch me on the Blood Ride. How about that? Do you remember this?
No.
She was on Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
This is really funny because I'm sure like listeners probably know what I'm talking about, but you clearly don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, yeah.
The Cash Me Outside girl.
She's a rapper.
Sure. I mean, she was just some shitty kid on Dr. Phil. She became a rapper.
Yeah.
And then she became
baddie something, right?
A bad baddie.
Bad baddie.
Spelled like BHADBHADIE.
She lost a fight in a recording studio. She got beat up by another fellow baddie. Female white rapper.
Can't say I'm surprised. But then she got like $1 million overnight or some bullshit because
she has an OnlyFans.
Yeah, this is very telling of Americans, I think, or just like society in general. I thought it was kind of icky. She kept promoting her OnlyFans, but she's like, I can't release it until this date because it's my 18th birthday. And a bunch of people fucking bought.
Jesus like, Christ.
And maybe it wasn't $1 million, but it was something stupid like that.
Well.
Jeez. Like, fucking hell, guys.
We're very smutty people, Americans.
I'm just like, wait, we're all looking at the same little girl that looks like a wannabe cholo, right? Like, she looked like a.
Well, I think she's trying to be black. But it's,
there's that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Did not know that.
This is a person horrible. That exists in the world, yeah. And now she's pregnant. That's the biggest news. Because for some reason, my social media thinks I care about bad baddie.
You have a lot of information about this one individual, yeah.
I know, yeah. Well, because I was like, what? You know? Sometimes I run with a joke about something that I think is stupid for way too long, and then the internet just assumes that I'm really into stupid shit.
Like
I joked about like, oh yeah, like fishing, haha, fishing, because clearly I don't fish. But now a lot of my algorithm is like a dude showing lobsters and shit.
I've noticed that on Instagram. Now that I'm back on Instagram, is I watch every now and then. I like to see a guy get knocked out. I don't know what it is. Every now and then, not my favorite thing. I mostly look at food, pizza, and stuff. It's fine, but every now and then, I look at one video, and now all of a sudden, every other suggested whatever short or whatever. I don't know what they're called on Instagram.
Is a fight.
It's somebody. Punching somebody, or another new one is now cars crashing into each other. Just became.
Oh man, yeah, I've corrupted
my algorithm.
During 2020, for some reason, that was the one thing that was calming me down. Was like car crash compilations of like idiot drivers. I don't know why that was calming me down, but that has also ruined my algorithm.
Do you remember? Did you show me that you showed me a video of somebody crashing outside my street? Do you remember this? Did you show me this video? And it showed up in a compilation of crash videos.
Yes.
And you showed it to me. And I was like, holy fuck.
It wasn't even like that was the craziest thing about that compilation. It was also there was one from like far Texas or some bullshit.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Which is near where we grew up.
Yeah.
So. It all comes full circle. Apparently, there's bad drivers everywhere. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
And that's the blood red.
That's the blood red.
I take. That's the blood red we take every day.
Alrighty. Let's move over to our main review of Satanic Hispanics. Thank you, John, for the save. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Satanic Hispanics, coming in at number 3. This only applies to one story, by the way, but Big Dick Energy, scary story.
That's a good one, yeah.
Coming in at number 2, Vote for Pedro, Death Killer.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 1 for Satanic Hispanics, Latino Scary Tales, but... There you go. I did the tongue thing. That's only going to be recognizable to people in South Texas, but I did it for you guys. Because there's welcome. A lot of moments in this movie.
Yeah. We wanted to check this movie out because we are always pro raza, so we want to support other Latinos.
I might be like a big Demian Rugna fan right now.
And the other one, who's the? We just saw her VHS one as well. Was it?
Gigi.
Gigi, yeah. Gigi, yeah.
They call her La Muñeca de Terror or whatever in Mexico. It was like her persona.
Oh.
Something like that.
Interesting.
There's a lot of like, these are all good directors. And then, you know, I think as I was watching it, I was like, oh yeah, this has to be the guy that did this movie, right? Like Mike Mendez did, I never watched Big Ass Spiders, but, Big Ass Spider, but. A very dear friend of mine's in it, so I want to support it.
Found out also Jonah Ray is Jonah Ray Rodriguez. Did not know that.
Yeah, that was a surprising one.
That was the twist. Should have saved it for spoilers. Damn, I did not know the host of Mystery Science Theater 3000, is it? Or what is it?
Yeah.
Is the,
newest one.
Or the newest version, yeah. Is actually Hispanic. Or half Hispanic, right? Because you also said he was from Hawaii as well. Born in Hawaii.
I can't really pinpoint his ethnicity. He's like 6'5", looks like a white guy. I don't know.
Yeah, and everything I've seen him.
I mean, same as me, obviously.
Obviously, you can walk in both worlds, John.
That's true.
What did you think of Satanic Hispanic? It's also we should say again, it's an anthology. So a lot of horror directors. Because
we are
stuff.
The Skeleton Boys podcast. We're an anthology horror movie podcast.
Yes.
I loved it. I actually really enjoyed the shit out of this. So I think I convinced you to let's watch Demian's like first big film, Terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Just because after like the very first story that's being told, I was like, holy shit, that was fucking good.
Mm-hmm. And I also liked it. I think that there's things, I think that like as an anthology, I don't know, I think because of the stories vary so much, yeah, they, it kind of doesn't like work, in my opinion, like cohesively as a movie. But there's some like individually, there's a lot of really good things you can, a lot of really good shorts in it. And I like that it was anchored by Efren Ramirez as the, yeah, traveler. I like that he was kind of like the wraparound story in the whole thing, and he was wonderful in this part. So
I feel like they were trying to, it's just like it wasn't there. I don't know if they did like you know, for time's sake they cut out a lot of that part of the story, the traveler story.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like what they were trying to do was establish that Efren Ramirez, which they did, had been around for centuries or something, and
right,
these are just some of the stories or like the things that he saw, kind of like he's the Watcher almost from the Marvel universe. I mean,
yeah, but to that, I think that they imply as much that he's telling these stories because he's trying to convince them of who he is,
right?
And I don't think that quite lands for me, that part of the setup, yeah, for each story. And there's,
I did like, with that being said though, that it was another opportunity for like a little goofy joke.
Yeah. Yeah. There's there's you know, a lot of like horror spooky elements, but it's actually really funny. Surprisingly really funny.
Super funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Damien's story wasn't all that funny at all, actually. But I don't know. From what we've seen from him, I don't think we expect it to be funny. It'll be like kind of funny, but you're like, this is some dark ass humor.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, and I think it was like kind of more of an action horror comedy, more of a blend of styles, blend, yes, of genres.
Because even the last one was very Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yes.
Well, not the, yeah, the
very one Sam Raimi. The, yeah, yeah.
The one with Jonah Ray. Yeah.
The one with Jonah Ray. Yeah, it was very Sam Raimi inspired, I believe, you know. It seemed like a really cool story, too. Did you also want to do what we did last week and just like talk about them individually as segments?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
So, what the beginning of the thing is Efren Ramirez, the traveler.
Yeah.
What do they call him?
I think they just call him the Traveler. Names. I think he goes by the Trap. Well, the Traveler.
El Viajo. Viajero. I don't know. I can't. Don't judge me. I am Mexican. Wait, he gets caught by the police and he's like, what he says, like, if you don't let me go in the next 90 minutes, which is the runtime of the film, right?
About,
from that, yeah, point on, yeah. Everybody's gonna die. And it's funny because this really just does seem like something that happens all the time, even though it's like, this is the only thing that can kill me. I think he's lying about that. I think he's lying about half the things he's saying.
Possibly, yeah.
But not the stories. I think the stories are true. It's just, He says a lot of things so he can get out as fast as possible. He's just trying to like weasel his way out of there.
Right, because he's immortal. Right, he's basically, yes, immortal. He can't die.
He said like, oh no, there's only one thing that can kill me. And I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, because then he says that I can't die. So it's kind of like contradictory.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Again, yeah, it seems like intentional that he keeps lying back and forth.
Right.
For whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. But a great... I thought really nice performance. Again, I thought he did a great job. I didn't care much for Greg Greenberg in this. Usually I like Greg Greenberg, but can't say, yeah, he left an impression.
He was serviceable. Also, RIP Sonia Eddy. This is the last movie she ever did before she passed away.
Oh, she passed away. Did not know that.
She passed away December last year around this time.
Oh, shit. Well, RIP for her. I was unaware. She was funny. I thought she was good.
Yeah. I liked her real, like, you gotta be fucking with me every time he says something. And I'll be right back. And she's pretending that she's annoyed, but then she's like, oh man, is this dude being for real? Like, I know he's talking about this gun. Like, I don't know. There's moments. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Hmm.
But it leads into, they catch him in an area where there's a bunch of dead people, kind of like what happens towards the end of this movie. And you see a bunch of little cameos, like Gigi Guerrero is one of the dead people on the ground.
Oh, no.
So I assume that there's other people that were like, you know, cameos from the directors. Even though they shot them all in different places. I think...
they did.
Mm. Yeah, like the... Jonah Ray one was shot in Maryland or something.
Hmm.
Anyway, so the first story involves our boy Damien's directing short, the one he directed, I mean.
Damien Lovi is the name of it. It's about, yeah, this is the one Damien directed. It's a first, so it's like the first one he uses to talk about. I forgot why it comes up. Maybe he couldn't.
sorry, I'm feeling a little ill. They're going through a bunch of like crime scene photos and like, do you know these people? He's like, no, I mean, blah blah blah. And he's like, no, I know this guy.
Oh, that's right, that's right. He recognized the protagonist of the story,
Gustavo, who is played by Damien Solomon. Who, before we started, I was like, which one did Damien Rugna direct? And you're like, oh, the first one. And I was like, oh, yeah, the one with the fucking guy that he uses in everything that he does, Damien Solomon. Yeah, that makes yes. perfect sense.
And Damien plays a Rubik's Cube expert, right? And yes.
I would say he's arguably more of an algorithm expert, or like he's got some sort of. What's a. Politically correct way to say this. He has a special talent in his head,
right,
that prevents him from being good at other things.
So then I must have this. I think he has
a form of autism.
Form of autism, yeah. And then he comes up with like a formula, and that I think that. He comes up with like the formula for the I don't know. It's like a thing in his head, right? It's something he concocts, a bizarre formula in his head or some shit like that.
It's the algorithm for the Rubik's Cube, to solve the Rubik's Cube.
That's right.
With light.
And so he starts, he does this like almost ritualistic thing with the lights, turning them off X amount of times while saying certain words and order and stuff like that. And then, are we in spoilers? Should we just get in the spoilers?
Well, I mean, yeah, because we're going to go through each of the stories, right? This is just the first, like, 25 minutes or something, right?
Yeah.
Because what? No, I mean, the story is just his sister, question mark, is trying to convince him to go do this, like, big competition, but he's being really hard on himself because he's like, you know, there's this Chinese guy that can fucking solve 8 of these things by the time I do one in like 8 seconds or whatever. And he's just like, I don't think it's worth the money that you're investing in me. I'm just going to live in their grandmother's house. So he lives alone. He finds a book or something, which they don't show, but he kind of casually talks about, he finds something and it's like a bunch of encrypted, like old writings. And was able to, in his head, mathematically translate it.
Mm-hmm.
Into an algorithm, which he realizes is very close. It's basically the same thing as a Rubik's Cube. So I think what they're trying to get at is a Rubik's Cube is kind of like a very basic algorithm that works for unlocking secrets or whatever of the universe, I think is what they're trying to get at. That this like basic idea of a toy.
Right. Like another dimension.
Yeah. Which I thought was a really cool idea. Like some of the basic things that we... you know, take for granted in life turn out to be like really important revelations for something later.
Right.
For example, give us one, Rolando.
Like the movie Pi?
Pi, there you go.
The spiral circle appears in everything. That was another movie about paranoia and math, yeah, and mathematics and algorithms and stuff.
Yeah, like pi is pretty much the answer to everything. It's just so true. Sometimes I'm having a really low day. You know, I just go to the store,
pick pie hole or
a little vegan apple pie.
But sometimes I'm having a great day, and then I buy a whole pie.
It depends. Like, am I having a bad day? I'm going to go to House of Pies. If I'm having a good day, I go to Magpies. I don't know.
If I'm not liking myself, I go to Denny's. I don't know. Yeah.
I go to the overpriced diners around the town. I'm not going to talk shit. One of them I still go to, and I don't want to offend them. That's what we're saying. This first short story is basically about pie.
Pie, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He, like, is fucking around with this thing, and he starts to, somehow he does it with lights and mirrors, and I'm not sure what he's seeing in the mirror.
That's the part I liked, was there was this built suspense of immediately he sees something, but we don't see it. And then he asked the guy, whatever, to help him. And he does the same thing. And then he sees something, but, you know, what's his face? Doesn't. Gustavo doesn't see anything. And it's just like the suspense of, like, what the fuck did he see? So
I think it's different per person, right? I think is what's going on.
I believe so. Has, like, talk to me vibes, right? They all kind of see something different.
Because this dude that he brings in, like, one dude first. It was, like, a very interesting looking guy that had, like, a really, like, basically snow white afro. Right? He had the tracksuit on, the, like, very fluorescent colored tracksuit with the glasses, and then he does the light thing, and the guy basically says, like, I'm just looking for the bathroom. Which I thought was funny, because he was doing that light trick to the bathroom mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, that's the guy's excuse to try to get away from this guy, was asking where the bathroom was at.
Yeah.
And then the next guy was supposed to be a paranormal investigator, I guess?
Paranormal investigator, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he says,
he's immediately, like,
immediately he tries to figure out, like, yeah,
we shocked. Need a, he saw, saw yeah. He fucking saw something, right? And then he runs out of the house, not knowing. I think at some point he's trying to show the delivery guy too, like a pizza guy or something, right? Because he eats a lot of pizza because of the pie, the circle or whatever. Yeah.
We're just connecting pie to everything, right?
Well, no, but I think there's a legitimate purpose connection there that he eats. He only eats slices of pizza, no? Pretty much the pie.
That's true.
Circle, yeah. I don't know. That's just what I got from him. His eating habits was that he needed to eat something like that.
I think they're also trying to point out that he can't take care of himself, which is why, like, his sister's trying to desperately help him, like, at least do this competition to get him out of the house and.
I feel attacked, John. How dare you?
Like, she's been desperately trying to get him away from that house, I think is what, right?
Right, yeah.
Because he refuses to leave.
Yeah. Then we get the big jump scare. Well, I guess he's like, I don't know, he's trying to call him back, call back the guy, and he's trying to call his sister or something like that, right? And he's leaving messages. Nobody's really getting back to him, so. And he keeps smelling something, right? You can see him, like, constantly, like, smelling himself, yeah. And he doesn't know what it is. And then he looks to the side of himself, or, like, on the side of him, and there's, like, a dead, mutilated body or something on the ground.
Yeah, this thing looks fucked up. It's, like,
terrified.
Guts, like, tearing out, and, yeah. And it's just, like, gutturally saying, like, are you there, man?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That was so scary, dude. Like, I did not.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. And I was like, holy shit.
And he fucks up his hand.
Yeah, he, like, breaks his fingers.
He like, bends his fingers. I'm assuming the thing grabbed his hand and fucking, like.
I thought so, but the thing doesn't seem to be malicious or, like, trying to hurt anybody. I thought maybe, like, he fucked up his hand trying to push the chair away, or I don't know.
But like he like bent all his fingers the opposite direction. Like yeah. It was like not, you know, it was not subtle at all. It was very.
One of the rare times where usually I'm pretty good about, I see something like that and I don't know what happened. So I just stop and go back. But mm-hmm. I was like, no, I need to see this short playthrough. So each of these segments, I did watch it in two different settings because I had to work. But mm-hmm. I never stopped midway through any of them, which rarely happens for me.
So you just watched them like chapter? Through, yeah. Yeah. Each one.
Because I enjoyed them that much.
Yeah. And I think right out of the gate, this is like already a high mark for the short. Though I would argue that I don't necessarily think it ends. It doesn't end. It just kind of blah. Just doesn't really have, I think, a satisfying resolution. Because the guy, the whatever, comes back to talk to him. I don't know.
Paranormal guy.
The paranormal guy. Yeah, comes back and talks to him and tells him that he saw his dead mother in the lights.
Or saw his mother rush. The reason he rushed out was to go meet her at the nursing home she was at, but mm-hmm. she had passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then he saw his mother, so he comes back, and then
Gustavo. That this mutilated half body is his mother.
Yeah, which is another weird thing. Yeah, which I'm assuming that's not true. I'm just based on whatever I saw.
The mutilated body is supposed to be Gustavo's father.
Oh, more daddy issues.
Because they mentioned that later. Yeah. So I think that was just Damien's humor. I think that's him being funny, and that's what I'm saying. It was fucked up. He's like, oh, this is my mom. Clearly it's not his mom. Like, yeah. Obviously it's not his mom.
He's hugging it.
Like, hugging it tight. Yeah. Uh-huh. And this thing is just like, oh, you would have it. It's what he does. Gustavo panics as Hispanics do, right? And rips off his cast or whatever that he made for himself so he could do the light thing again. And it makes them disappear, but it also makes them both explode. So he kills somebody.
Yeah.
So he should be on the blood ride.
He qualifies for the blood ride. All aboard.
And then he finally gets a hold of his sister because he had sent his sister a text of like a photo of what that body looked like.
In his hands. Yeah, that's right.
In his hand, yeah. And she's finally like, what are you doing over there? Like, what the hell's going on? He's like, well, did you see the picture? He's like, yeah. It's a picture of you with like blood covering your head and you're underneath a blanket taking a picture of yourself. Why did you do that? He's like, what are you talking about? And he looks at his phone and he's like, holy shit, it looks like me. And he's trying to explain like, it's our father. When our father got in that car accident, I was the only one that saw him or something like that. And his body was completely mutilated.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's our dad. And she's like, you're not well. You need to get out of there. So he runs out of the house, right? And he turns around. And when she says, like, it was you in the photos, it's like, what? And he looks up and he sees a bunch of different versions of himself, like looking evil.
Hmm.
So I think it's like he released something with the algorithm.
Yeah. And he do mention that he fucked up his hand, so he couldn't do the trick again, the light trick again.
Yeah. He did it one more time to get rid of his dad, I guess, and the paranormal guy by accident.
Paranormal guy's mother. she might have been in that fucked up face body.
So I think also because in the wraparound story, I think the traveler kind of talks about sometimes people release things without understanding what they are.
Yeah.
So this one's very on par with Damien's movies.
Very much.
Another so. Like evil thing's gotten released. And sorry, everybody's fucked now.
Yeah.
So I think that's what happened at the end. It's just Gustavo is dead, but now there's like an evil thing just tricking people to like
hug it,
feed whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. He just wants hugs. Yeah. No. Like I said. Like I liked this was. I thought. Like I said. Like one of the better ones. High mark right off the bat. I think it's fucking great. It's scary. It's suspenseful. Really kind of fun story. Not crazy about the ending, right? I think it kind of loses a little bit of steam at the end, but overall, just probably the best of the bunch, I believe.
I would say it's probably my favorite one.
Yeah, same here. Mm. The second one was the El Vampiro. So
that one was cute. So this is when this movie made me feel very much like it's a horror version of Paris Je T'aime or New York I Love You.
Right. Yeah. This definitely would fit into that equation. Yes. And directed by Eduardo Sanchez of the Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Fame. So it's very. Yeah,
what did you think of this one?
I liked it. I think that it tonally is radically different. It almost takes like a slapstick comedy, sweet love story of a vampire, an old aging vampire who's trying to go out at night and have like a one more kind of hurrah as a bloodsucker on Halloween. But he has like a, but his wife reminds him of daylight savings time. So he's actually only has 15 minutes to get back, undercover before the date comes up. So
played by Patricia Velasquez.
Who's that?
She was in The Mummy. She plays a Naxunuman or whatever. She's also in Arrested Development. She's the girl Job is dating and Michael falls in love with.
Okay.
Marta.
Remember
that character? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's also, she pops up and stuff. Like, she was in Malignant. She played the nurse.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I enjoy watching her every time she pops up.
I did enjoy that he is a vampire who looks like very Hispanic dad.
And not that it matters, but like I like how he keeps mentioning how much like he's like hundreds of years older than her.
Yeah, it's true. He's like,
and in real life, she's like 6 years older than him.
Yeah, but you,
Dave, she looks fucking fantastic.
Yeah, and he looks not well so, compared to her. I'm sure he would agree. So yeah,
this one was super funny.
This one was funny. Yeah,
where you know. It's got a great opening where, like, this vampire is, like, eating or just getting his fill of blood. And then it's kind of creepy until, like, he burps. And then it's just kind of goofy from that point on. Like, he convinces this girl's about to run away. And he's like, no, you are enthralled by me. And then some dude's walking his dog and happens to see them. And he's just like, I fucking hate Halloween. And he, like, walks away because it's Halloween night.
Yeah.
And then when the cops show up and they both point their gun at him. Oh, that, because he's got somebody's head, right? He like, oh, these three clown guys are bullying him when he's trying to run home. When his wife is like, you need to get home, stupid. And he's like, you are under my control. I am your master. And then like not even 2 seconds later, he's like, babe, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. I'm like, and then she hangs up and he's like, oh shit. So he starts to run home. And then the clown guys bully him by throwing water balloons at him or something.
Oh yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
And he goes and he kills him, of course. And he rips off one dude's head and the cops show up. And for like a good solid 5 minutes are just like, wow, you know, next time maybe you want to try making this look more real, but like, this is fun, dude, blah, blah, blah. And then like the cop's taking a picture with the head like, eh. And then he's like, what do you use for blood? It doesn't look all that great. And he puts it in his mouth and he eats it. And he's like, this is real blood. And then there's that fucking, he keeps trying to mind control. But he can't mind control both of them at the same time.
Yeah, he can't. He's trying to do one or the other.
And they keep pointing their gun at him like, oh, what are you doing? Hey, no, you stop doing that. He's like, hey, you are enthralled. And the other guy's like, wait, no, hey, stop doing that. It's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
This thing is funny.
It's like a What We Do in the Shadows almost vibe to it.
Yes, very much so. Has kind of a morose ending. The wife ends up because he's getting tracked down by the police, right?
Right.
And
they run out of time.
His wife ends up grabbing the car, and then they both jump into a dumpster, and it's not, of course, like, fully closed off, so there's going to be light leak.
Mm-hmm.
And they die together.
Aw.
Yeah. One guy is throwing away trash, and he just says something about Halloween again also, and they walk away.
Yeah. And that's it. It's all over. That one. The next one was Gigi's movie.
I hate to say, probably my least favorite.
This one was a little... This one kind of takes a minute to get going before it kind of reveals what it's about. You know what I mean?
And then it's over.
And then it's over. Once it kind of says whatever it needs to be said. I think it never really got a good tone. Because I like the idea of it being merely set in Mexico. We see a guy bloodied with a dead body. He's like, you know, on a horse, and he's like going somewhere with the horse. But then it just goes to this. It just didn't ever really. That's a very, like, you know, interesting way to start your short. But I don't think it ever really like went anywhere besides that. Like, I guess he was being hunted down, and
yeah, it makes it seem like he is the protagonist or the victim, but he's not. He's kind of the bad guy, actually.
He's kind of the bad guy, yeah. And I get the meaning of it, right? Like, these were like, what would you say?
Werewolves.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the name, Nahuales.
Yeah.
It's like, they're like shapeshifters of animals, and it's about how...
Like skinwalkers or something, right?
Skinwalkers.
Like Mexican folklore skinwalkers, yeah.
And it's about how, you know, how unnatural the world has become and how they're losing their place in it, you know, and how, like, it's, the world is around them is, you know, poisoned or whatever. So they're kind of like dying off or not being as significant. So that I kind of like that idea in principle. But
I did too. I liked everything about it. I think what it suffered from was being too short.
Yes. And it couldn't get going, right? And it took a little bit to kind of...
It was just too short. Like, it was a great idea crammed into, like, it was probably the shortest one. It was maybe 15 minutes long, right?
Yeah, I believe it might have been felt like the shortest one. I kind of see similar themes in her VHS 85 segment as well. You know what I mean? About,
yeah,
kind of like a cleansing, supernatural side to it. Decent, probably my least favorite of the bunch. And
yeah, which surprisingly is still not a bad segment.
Exactly. Yeah.
So this might be, I mean, we'll see how we rate it, right? But like a rare occurrence where an anthology movie is just like really solid from beginning to end, I think.
Yeah. I have to agree with that. Last one, The Hammer of Zanzibar, which I merely... After watching it, I was like, I think John's going to like this one. It's going to be John's favorite segment. Only because it has a great blend. And, well, first an homage to like Sam Raimi movies, and then has a nice blend of comedy, horror, violence, action. You know, it does try to mix up everything really well. And the setup, I thought, was fantastic.
It was also the actress Danielle Chavez. I could have sworn was what's her name from The Stylist, but I was like, oh no, it's not her, it's somebody else. from the thumbnails until I was watching the thing, I was like, oh no, this is actually a Latin person.
Yeah. And enjoyed Jonah Ray being cast as Ash in this. So
yeah, that was great. That I like how... Oh, and also between all these shorts, you go back to Ethan Ramirez desperately trying to convince him, like, hey, let me out before we all die.
Mm-hmm.
And was this the one where it was like, okay, so this is when one of the cops is like, oh, I've seen the same sort of inscription on this bullet that he says is a special bullet to kill demons or gods or whatever.
I believe so,
But you need this, like, special gun. Which I thought was funny too, because it's like somebody could totally just remake this gun, but okay. she finds it like, oh, this came in our possession. He's like, oh, you need to give it to me. And, you know, very obviously the cops make jokes like, oh, yeah, okay, right away. Hey, can you just go grab this weapon and give it to our suspect? Because he's asking for it. So yeah. I like how grounded the cops were. They're like, oh, yeah. Sure, dude. Yeah, I'm totally going to believe you. You're right. Yeah. Everything you're saying, perfect sense. But yeah, this was the one, I think, where he said, oh, what was John Ray's character's name?
Malcolm.
He's like, oh yeah, Malcolm. You want to hear about Malcolm? And they're like, no, we don't. You're going to tell us anyway, are you? Basically like that. He's like, it all started. And they're like, ugh. Like, yeah. At this point, they're just like, why? We don't want to hear this fucking story.
Yeah.
But this one was pretty good. But he sits in a diner, his ex-girlfriend invited him to, and he's like, why'd you pick this place? And she's like, it's your favorite. I'm like, yeah, this is also a place you broke up with me at. You know that, right? Mm. And she's like, yeah, but I mean, so what? And they keep, I mean, they're basically explaining why they broke up, and that he has that tape of the recording of the ritual that they saw in Mexico somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to believe him that all the friends that they had together all died.
Right.
And she's saying, well, okay, you know what? That's scary. Fine. Like, where's the tape? Let's destroy it. And he's like, I've already tried that. It just keeps coming back. I threw it in the ocean. It just keeps coming back to me. Like, oh, well, let's figure it out. Where's it at? And he basically at this point said, like, you know, I'm not going to give you the tape, because I know you're not my ex-girlfriend. And she's like, what are you talking about? Like, I mean, you're possessed, right? She's like, no, I'm not. And he's like, well, I know for a fact that this restaurant doesn't exist because it closed down, like, whatever, how many years ago. And I know it's all fake. And so that was like a fun little reveal. It was, like you said, very Evil Dead. We're like, oh, clever, bravo. Yeah, I'm a demon. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
And then that whole, he's like, well, I had a plan to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh yeah? He's like, yeah, you want to hear it? She's like, yeah, please tell me how you expect to stop me, like, basically the god of death or whatever. It's like, come in closer. And then fucking shotguns her fucking head. Like, she plays back, like fuck yeah. Just so excited about everything in the short. It was really fun.
Yeah.
And then there's a big reveal. But
of the Hammer of Zanzibar. What the hammer? Because a demon at this point says that, like, none of your guns or weapons will hurt me. And then he's like, oh yeah. And then he hits her with something off screen, and then she like flies back with blood in its mouth.
It looks like a big club, right? It
looks like a big club like or something. And
or a bone. I thought it was a bone, and I was correct in some sense.
It was a bone, all right. And then it cut to big titles, The Hammer of Zanzibar. And we get a flashback where we see Miguel, one of his friends who was cursed, and El Jefe. They're looking for some sort of artifact to fight back. And he goes, Jacob Vargas plays El Jefe. And man, this guy was great in this scene of a sort of shop owner. He kind of like a black magic witchcraft shop owner.
Yeah, this guy, you know, the guy that's in the critically acclaimed movie Traffic, he did this part.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was that whole story where he's like,
goes on.
Like, you want to know how I came into possession with this? They're like, no, not really. We don't really have time for backstories. It was like, it all started. I'm like,
shit. Yeah. He basically summons the demon, right? And then the demon, they begin to have sex with the demon.
Yeah, this demon is like just taking him to Pound Town, and he said, like, and it was rough, and it was, you know, bad. And then I summoned him again and again, and like they basically fell in love, and then the demon started ghosting him. That's what he was upset about. And this is the whole backstory to this, getting this.
He's like, and then I find out he just appears to anybody who summons him.
He just you know, fucking everybody all around town. He was so upset by it. So what, he like summons the demon away, but before that he rips off his dick, and that's what the Hammer of Zanzibar is.
Literally. What, like 10-inch flaccid penis made of wood.
Yeah, I mean, if like, because the club we're looking at is clearly like 3 feet long or something like that.
Yeah, it's this, and it's shaped like a large penis. Yes. So that is the hammer of Zanzibar. Like a large,
it looks like a wooden penis, but I mean, it's supposed to be like this demon's dick. Yeah.
Yeah.
that can hurt people.
And
oh man, that was so funny.
And proceeds to kill. What do they refer to it as? King Zombie, I guess, is the demon that was acting like its girlfriend.
King Zombie. Yeah. And we also get a director cameo by Mike Mendez in that one.
Hmm.
He plays Gus. Yeah, I don't know.
Why was this one your favorite? Too, why was this one your favorite, John?
I can't say it was. I think I'm still a bigger fan of the Damien.
Okay.
Ragnar one, I think.
Yeah.
No, but this one was so good.
I thought
so
No funny. Perfect. Yeah, like for what it was trying to accomplish. Like, yeah, I thought it was No Perfect. Like, funny, a lot of action.
Perfect ending.
Yeah. Nice tone.
He buys this thing, and then Jonah Ray fucking did a theme song to the entire thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm gonna kill you. Which I know I talk shit about the VHS one, the VHS 85, but this one was like beautiful. I was like, chef's kiss to this. This is so funny.
It's a funny parody song because it's like narrating what's happening, but it's I don't know. It's just better. It's better conceived than the VHS one.
Yeah. This one felt more John Carpenter's Big Trouble Little China.
Yeah. Fun way to end it. Yeah.
Defeats what was it called? The zombie? The
King Zombie. King Zombie, yeah.
King Zombie. Smashes her head in. Which, by the way, they made the creature kind of look like the Ice King from Game of Thrones. It's very Ice King.
Okay, yeah. I see what you mean. Reptile-y.
Yeah, very Enemy Mines.
Yep.
Sort of deal.
Head-wise, yeah. All around.
So he kills a thing. He's like, all right. And then here's the cops coming outside. And then there's a reveal that the restaurant was open and he murdered everybody inside the restaurant.
Yeah.
And then.
Or the creature did. Or I don't know. That's kind of what I thought to the creature.
I mean, I think so. I think she was possessed.
Right.
And that all that did happen. But. The cops come in and then it cuts to Efren Ramirez and he's talking to the cops again. And they're like, oh, so that's why. But he's not dead, though. So what's the deal? And he's like, yeah, I mean, he's the one white guy in a room full of dead Latinos. You know, they just said he was able to escape the drive-by shooting by the gangs. So he got let go. That's so funny.
So true.
So funny. Even Efren Ramirez thinks that Jonah Ray is a white guy.
Yeah. Damn.
And then we finally get to the wraparound segment.
Right.
Which is pretty high up there with for me, too. Like, the way this story unfolded, I was like, this is pretty cool. You finally get to see the death thing, and it looks badass.
Yes. I wasn't impressed.
Sorry?
No, what was the name of it? I was going to say El Viaro. Viajero.
Sure.
Viajero. Yeah, and it's like, I wasn't convinced at first. Because it's just basically like paled face, kind of looks like the thing from like Dark City, like pale faced hat,
yes,
coat and gloves and stuff. And it's kind of like they can't kill it. He's walking into the police office and can't kill it. Very, I kind of got like Terminator vibes from it, you know, the first movie.
Yeah. Also, like they look into its eyes and they're, you know, automatically start killing each other, so nobody's able to touch this thing.
Right? Yeah, he's able to manipulate them with like hand wave them away, or they kill each other. He basically can force them to puppet them, and he's able to do whatever he wants. And then the cool part, as I think is what you're referring to, is like they gather in mass, all the cops, and they just start like shooting, wasting him away. And as they're shooting him, the skin, the head, and all this other stuff kind of disappears, and to reveal badass looking demon, which is on the poster. Evil
Virgin Mary.
Yeah, it's on the poster, and it looks even better in the movie.
Yeah, it looks so fucking cool. It was like, this is badass.
So, and yeah, I think it continues, and I think at that end, the traveler or whatever uses the bullet he has to basically to not kill it, but just stop it, and then he can escape.
Yeah. So I'm guessing that he has to go retrieve that bullet with the gun is what we don't see off screen. I'm assuming that's what he does all the time. And then he casually walks out, picks up a police jacket, finds somebody's keys, gets a car, and gets caught because he's speeding?
Yeah, even though he looked pretty casually driving. He wasn't really speeding, yeah.
And then it seems like what's going to happen is everything's going to start all over again.
Right.
So I don't know if the idea is he's getting pulled over in a different town far away.
And far enough just, away, you know, yeah.
Getting a lot of cuts of what happened.
And then he has to explain again what he's doing, yeah. Not crazy about that ending. I did like the idea that he's forever battling this. They insinuate he's like forever battling this death. Death wants him because he can't die, essentially.
I would like for like if they did make like another movie, mm-hmm. The explanation is, you know, the fight between good and evil, and these are just like the judgment days per town.
Yeah.
They're like all these people collectively being judged.
They could take it like in a Dusk Till Dawn kind of. I feel like that's also totally what this feels like.
Yeah. It's true.
Especially with the heavy emphasis on the action and stuff. So it was fun. It was fun overall.
I was going to say the color grade as well. Like very reds, oranges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also up in El Paso, Texas.
Oh yeah, that's true.
which is like the number one place. Every time I said like, oh, I'm from Texas, oh, what part? I'm like, oh, Deep South. They're like, oh, like El Paso. Like, damn, you know, like El Paso is 8 hours north of San Antonio.
It's not even close.
No, I mean, I think it's more than 8 hours north of San Antonio. Actually,
I want to say like it's almost a 12-hour,
like 11 or something.
Drive. It's like a full day of driving. I remember just to drive from, I don't know,
from the Rio Grande Valley.
Yeah, to get to the valley from to El Paso.
So from Los Angeles to El Paso, Texas, it takes 11 hours and 13 minutes.
Easy.
Like, and that is, I'm assuming, because there's no traffic on a Sunday.
In New Mexico, yeah, dirty, disgusting New Mexico, yeah.
Huh?
I don't like New Mexico. I don't like New Mexico. This is part.
Well, I mean, I think that's we all stop in El Paso before we leave Texas.
Before we go.
And then from McAllen, Texas, to El Paso, Texas,
12 hours
is the same exact time. A little bit longer.
Yeah.
I have a hard time explaining this to people. I'm like, I'm telling you right now, I leave from El Paso to Los Angeles, and the same amount of time it takes to get through three states is how long it takes from where we're from in Texas to get to even El Paso.
And it's
and that is not even the top of the state yet.
It's not even the scenic route or anything. We're just like trying to get out of the state as fast as possible. That's literally the fastest way out. I don't think people understand how massive Texas is.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because I think that the few times I've made that drive, I always stop near or around El Paso. We used to stop it near or around El Paso. There's like a Chili's, and I was like, after about 12 hours of driving, I just stopped there, and just that's where I'd spend an hour just there at Chili's because it was
probably one of the strangest border towns I've ever been in.
Oh yeah,
because you like look down, like you look down on Mexico. No, you look down, like it's like a mountainside, and you're looking at Mexico.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
On the lower elevation.
Yep,
it's so strange. At the drive-in, thank you, Mars Volta.
Thank you. Explains it. Alrighty, that was Satanic Hispanic, not Satanic Panic. Different movie. Let's go in and rate this thing. You have any other last thoughts overall?
I know, just what a fun time. I would consider this the real blood ride.
Yeah. We may take a break from anthologies, right? Is that the vibe we're getting off of now?
Sure we are. Sure. Until we find the next one, like, hey, it's an anthology.
2024 is about the anthology.
That's our... We've become acclimated to the TikTok generation. We like bite-sized little morsels bite-sized of stories.
Content. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give the Satanic Hispanics 8.8 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with 7. I liked it though. It was good. Mm-hmm. It was good. I just said 7. I think that overall, I don't know if for whatever reason the stories decided to tell, I don't think completely worked together cohesively as a movie. Though they're individually, they all have their qualities. But yeah, I'm gonna give it 7 sexy spooky bones. All right, guys, girls, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky. Did you like my accent?
Yeah, it was good.
Bye, everybody.